Talkback, Central Louisiana's longest-running talk show. Whether it's the guests or the callers, Talkback is where Central Louisiana begins its conversation.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, on this Tuesday. I'll quote him on Sandra McQuain. Normally, the Tuesday, we would have Matt Ritchie on the show, but he is enjoying watching his son compete in some state tennis. So we will have Matt on Thursday instead. So little change for you, a little programming note. As they say, no Matt Ritchie today. We will have him on Thursday. So open line throughout the hour today. But one thing I want to talk a little bit about, and we talked somewhat about it yesterday or the other day, this bill being put forth by Heather Cloud in the Senate, which would restrict some of the access to public information, I guess you would call it government information, that has to do more with the deliberative processes that various government agencies use at arriving at policy. And it sparks some controversy because people feel like this is going to hurt open records and open information. The governor's behind this, Governor Landry as well, backing it, I should say. And both he, Jeff Landry, was on the Moon Griffon show yesterday, along with Heather Cloud. Landry was in the studio. Heather Cloud was on the phone. And Moon really gave them the opportunity to explain exactly what this is all about. And so I want to play a few clips from that interview, starting first with Landry, who tries to kind of explain a little bit more the issue here. Take a listen.
I have seen. As the attorney, when I became the attorney general, I mean literally within the first 3 weeks, we started getting inundated over with public records requests. It continued. And we started looking back and seeing, okay, well, how many public records requests were actually made to Buddy Caldwell? Because that's who...
Attorney General at UB.
That's right. And we started seeing that literally within 1 year or 2 or 3 years, we started getting doubled and triple and four times the amount of public records requests that he got. But let's take this back. Let's think about how this all started. First and foremost, the deliberative process, which means the ability of elected officials to deliberate and talk about the public policies as they set them forth, and then to discuss those issues with their constituents, that's something that's rooted in the U.S. Constitution way back when, the deliberative process. The public records doctrine was set up in order to ensure that the public had some transparency in the way that they spent their money. Because what happens is, you say, a parish council, the legislature goes and appropriates money. And you see it in this big bill. But then you want to know exactly how did they spend it, who got the money, right? So we can make sure that the money was spent appropriately. And you want to be able to make sure that the legislature said, well, we got a contract, we're spending $10 million on roads. Where is that $10 million going? Who was awarded those contracts? How was that money spent? That was the initial reason for the public records doctrine. I fully support that. In fact, you know, one of the things that the state did was they set up L.A. Wallet, which was to further enhance transparency on the way that the state spent its money. Guess who was the first department to get on L.A. Wallet? Even before the Division of Administration, when then was Jay Darden, the Department of Justice, when I was the Attorney General, we were the first department to go live with L.A. Wallet. Why? Because I have no problem being fully transparent in the way that we spend the taxpayers' money. That's always been something that was important to me. We ended up, after 8 years, by the time I finished as the AG, I had two lawyers, full-time, answering public records doctrine requests, okay? That doesn't do us any good. Moon, they wanted any and all correspondence that we had with Moon Griffon, any and all correspondence that we had with the Oil and Gas Association, any and all, like, everything.
There was a phone call?
Yeah, I mean,
email.
Anything. We had to go through, and of course, as the AG, it was even more problematic because we had to go through and determine what was privileged, what was not. Because remember, we run in a lawyer's office. I got calls from sheriffs. In fact, we had to have a lawyer work with sheriffs and clerks during that whole woke law enforcement movement by the left because they were inundating the sheriffs with this. And so the point of the matter is that what has happened is the left has weaponized this, and they realize if they can inundate those conservatives with the amounts of with just inundating them with requests, then guess what? That chills our ability. Number one, that frustrates our ability to go get problems solved because we got to work through and go through emails and sort through all those kind of things. And then it also chills the discussions between our constituents and other organizations to be able to discuss those issues privately. Look, the policy making is always public. It's always transparent.
Money's always transparent.
And the
right?
money is always, always transparent. Now, look, Heather's bill is extremely broad, and it covers all public officials. But if those parishes, if those municipalities, if those public officials don't have the transparency that the state has on the financial side, then we can discuss that. The bill can further be narrowed. But I'm going to tell you this. Why this is necessary in looking at this is because they have weaponized the public records doctrine against conservatives. Go look at the number of public records that John Bel Edwards got versus what we got. I know that they just ignored it. Then somebody will say, why you didn't sue him? Well, why? Think about where I'd have to litigate that at, right? I mean, I remember there was a New York Times reporter who attempted to get information from the governor's office through the public records doctrine and was frustrated even then. But it's okay when the Democrats ignore the law, but certainly not when Republicans do. And I don't want to ignore the law. I want to make sure that the law is fair.
Okay, can I ask this?
All right, so that's Jeff Landry on the Moon Griffon show yesterday. So, you heard that full explanation now? Does it satisfy your thoughts? I can already see it in her eyes. No.
No. Public records, I don't know the history. I haven't traced the history of the Freedom of Information Act, but I think it is beyond just the public's ability to see how the government spends their money. Mm-hmm. The deliberative process, and we saw this with what just happened at the federal level with the funding for Ukraine and Iran. The deals really are happening behind the closed door. And the public deliberation sometimes is very rote and matter-of-factly, and that's not really the heart of true debating. The deals have been struck. And I think you sign up for public office, and I don't know how, and just sort of an overreach of requesting public records is weaponization. Yes, it's a headache and it's a hassle, but when you go to work for the public, you accept you are operating in a glass house.
Okay.
There is no wooden door. Everything is open. Employees have access to information about salaries of other companies. Everything is open.
Mm-hmm.
When you work for the government, and it is just the challenge with which you have to work. So I am a big believer in the full transparency, as much as it was a headache. And I agree, it is a pain. I mean, we had somebody that requested every lease we'd ever executed at England. You talk about, hundreds of housing leases, and it was a pain in the rear to try to figure out what was redacted, what was truly public information, but you do it, and because they have a right to see how the England Authority conducted its business.
Sure. Now, he did say that later in the interview they had to hire two full-time lawyers just to work on these. So that is a cost to taxpayers as well. So
is that a cost we'd want to give up in the effort to allow the government to work behind? I mean, they already work behind a cloak, let's just be honest, but to make it easier to do that?
I don't know. All right, so later in the interview, Heather Cloud talks about this and kind of gives an example of why she feels they need this sort of thing.
That advisory opinions, which is what the Attorney General's office is tasked with, when they have a lower level attorney that's drafting an advisory opinion and sending it up the chain to their superior for consideration, they often test that lower level attorney's opinion, and they'll play devil's advocate and they'll send a memo back down and say, well, what about this or what about that? Or maybe your conclusion is wrong because of this. And so in testing and sending that memo, the attorney Tom Jones has said, you know, if this is the case, I'm afraid to even test another attorney's opinion in writing because it could be subject to a public record when it is not a reflection of the final product. And we see that so often in jurisprudence. The big case that we're basing this off of in the United States Supreme Court, it was based off of a draft that was written from a lower level person within the wildlife and fisheries back in 2013, dealing with an activist group that was suing over a water cooling plant. They were worried that some endangered species of fish were going to die because of the water cooling plant, so they sent the draft up. And the Sierra Club wanted that draft released. Well, in that time, the Wildlife and Fisheries said, wait, we need to stop and do a study and see if this is actually the case. Like, are there actually endangered species of fish there? Are they actually dying before we shut down the water plant or disseminate the wrong information in the form of this draft? So they stopped, did a study, and at the end of the year, a year later, they looked back and they said it was not a problem. They didn't need to shut down the plant, and that draft was null and void. They didn't need to issue the preliminary draft. They issued a final draft saying that there is no problem there and they're not shutting down the plant. And so they issued the final draft. Well, Sierra Club said that's not good enough. We want the preliminary draft too. And the United States Supreme Court said, no, that preliminary draft was pre-decisional. It was before a study was done. It was before the conclusions were made. Why do you need that? If you put that, Justice Amy Coney Barrett basically said, if you put that pre-decisional draft out, you're going to mislead the public because it doesn't constitute the effects of the study and the final decision. That's what we're talking about right here, is when governments are trying to figure things out, their memos, their drafts, their opinions, forcing them to put it out prematurely is going to mislead the public.
And what has happened is, and really...
All right, so that was Heather Cloud, her take on that.
You know, I had to deal with that too, where I had, you know, advisory memos, thoughts that you'd put on paper and distribute that in a lawsuit were subject to discovery. And was it a final? No, it was a preliminary, and I had to explain that in the process. It taught me a good lesson about what I put in writing and what I didn't going forward. But it was just the nature of what you dealt with. And I think you're still better to err on the side of full transparency and deal with the occasional headache like that than not.
All right. Let's take some calls on this. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Yes. So I'm just curious, would there be maybe a middle ground in which there are certain areas in which it is okay to limit what early drafts might be out, and it's like just these particular areas? But also on the other side of that, do you think that this is kind of a little bit of a different question? There was a bill introduced to mandate that public meetings be streamed and available to the public that way. Do you think that that's going to help create an air of transparency for places like the police jury and other city councils that don't already have that? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, having more meetings available through online resources, I think, is always good, because if folks are watching it, it impacts how they might conduct themselves more professionally in these meetings. But a lot of the deliberations, I think, happen off camera before they get in there. So I don't know that I'm certainly in favor of that. I don't know that it is necessarily correlated to this decision. Is there a happy medium? Possibly, but the minute you give government sort of the bucket of, okay, you can put this in a privileged or a redacted communication, they're just going to keep putting more things in that bucket. And so I think it's hard to create sort of all of these sort of catch-all steps that, oh, it's only public if it's past this point in the process. I think it gets really hard, because they can just say, oh, that was preliminary. Oh, that was preliminary. Yeah. I think it's really hard to enforce anything that has too many layers to it in this issue.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to another call. You're on Talkback. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, sure.
Listen, on this, I see a middle ground, and like the last caller was talking about, I thought that was wise. I could totally belief that the left uses this law that has great intentions to gum up the works and slow it down until they can have another election and try to get their guy in there. I can see that. And that's an abuse of something that was intended to be good. We all know that without transparency, government tends towards corruption. So with the marvels of technology we have today, I think what we need to do is make it so that at a certain point in the future, every government office's computers will be available. Their files would move onto a public server so that, yeah, if they want to search it, let agency X or whatever search it and not have to hire special attorneys just to meet these requests of these people so that they can do it on their own dime. And if they find corruption, great. That's great. Then the people are served. But I think it would help us and help the people in office to know, hey, everything we're doing eventually is going to go onto that server where they can see every jot and tittle. And I think that would have a very restraining influence, and it would also free them up from people trying to gum up doors. We know when Trump was elected, Pelosi was saying, join the resistance. You know, they just tried everything they could do to slow down his progress to the right. We know that's how Democrats think, how leftists think. And so I think we have to find a way, and I don't know all the details of Representative Cloud's proposed legislation. And I respect what Sandra's saying. Yes, you do volunteer to live in a glass house. But we have to find a way to keep them from making a good thing bad. And I think that would do it. I think the same thing should be with our covert agencies, this FISA stuff. Every time an American's records are seen, that should come out to the public at some time. And it shouldn't be at the choosing of the person who chose to spy on them. Or the agency, we need to realize that, and I think moving all of government to a public for where you can search it on your own time at your own cost, and then come out with the results. I think that would serve everyone well. Anyways, thanks. Sorry to double dip. All right. Y'all have a great day.
No, it's good
comments. And I will say this: you know, you were talking about the cost of the two attorneys that Governor Landry mentioned. You can charge for public records.
Right.
Request. I mean, if someone, like we had somebody, the person that wanted the leases, when we told them what that was going to cost, they came in and brought their own scanner. And so we just set them up in a conference room, let them scan away on their dime and their time. So there is an element of mitigating that. In terms of putting everything on a public server, I wouldn't necessarily have an issue of that. You just always have to, be careful with that again, because, you know, there are certain personnel items that are not subject to public disclosure, legal documents. But I mean, is it doable? I would think with technology today and all the artificial intelligence tools, that could be done.
I would think so. We need to take a break.
If you'd like to take part in our show today, call the BOM Bank studio line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK. BOM Bank, now with locations in Alexandria, Pineville, and Woodworth.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth. And if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Attention all real estate agents, property owners, and lenders. When you or a client needs a real estate attorney, call the professionals at Thompson Law Firm. Whether the legal matter is basic or complex, the Thompson Law Firm can accurately guide you or your client to a successful outcome. That's why numerous industry professionals have trusted the Thompson Law Firm for years. They also handle estate planning, successions, and business law. Call them at 473-0052. I am a paid non-client attorney spokesperson.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, Saturday, April 27th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe. Clean them out. Take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack, and we must work to protect it. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker Mercedes and BMW. Experience unparalleled quality and style with Walker Mercedes and BMW. The best of TalkBack is back Saturday mornings 8 to 10 right here on KSYL. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back here on TalkBack. Al Quartermont, Sandra McQuain. We're talking about this Senate bill by Heather Cloud, which would change some of the way that records are accessed, public records, maybe some things that wouldn't have to be produced in the name of deliberations and preliminary steps and things such as that. Now, on the Moon Gravon show, Jeff Landry and Heather Cloud were on yesterday, and Heather said that this is something that the state legislature already has.
Within the state legislature, we have deliberative process privilege that protects our speech that is rooted in the Constitution. And you've seen a lot of these public record requests that are, they're not saying we're denying it because of deliberative process privilege. Instead, they're sending that record is unresponsive. That means that they don't have to, that agency or the attorney for the legislature says we don't have to respond to it because we're not required to. So what we're debating right now is whether or not we should give the same privilege that the legislature is afforded to the executive, like the governor. He does have some sort of deliberative process privilege, but it is very narrow. He can only talk to four people within his entire staff that would be covered by deliberative process privilege. And then the other thing, look, what we do a lot, then Attorney General Jeff Landry told me when I was first elected, he said, making a good piece of legislation is making sausage. Because I would want everything perfect on the front side when I just started in the legislature. And he said, it doesn't work like that. Language has to be perfected. You have to hear all sides of the issue. And then you usually come out with a good piece. We're only in the first stage right now. And what we're debating, everybody pretty much that came to the table said we need to define deliberative process, privilege in statute. Like the opponents of the bill said that in committee. It's on record. That's what we're trying to do. What is the right definition right now? We felt like our definition was pretty good in my bill, but there's some concern that it could be any record and it could be protected forever. Well, that is not our intention.
What I want to tell you, I'll throw back to Jeff. Jeff, and here's a perfect example. Guy was worried about government spending.
Yes.
It's always about the money.
Yes.
You're telling me.
There's not.
What is allowed?
Right.
What's going right. to
look,
allow
look,
from
there, there
from
is there is nothing inside, as I appreciate Heather's bill. And again, if we find that there is, this is the process, which is great. And guess what? The legislative process is transparent as well. She had a committee hearing, allowed people to come and visit and testify and comment. And then people voted. That's all right in the open public. But as I appreciate it, any of the financial transactions are not in any way covered in Heather's bill. In other words, they are already open.
Spending and money
anything to do with spending,
record.
That's correct. Contracts, the way you spend it, it's simply about you and I, or Heather and I, or me and my secretary at the Department of Economic Development, having discussions about particular policies, projects, issues that are affecting the state. Because what the left wants to do is they want to see and they want to pick apart little words between the emails or the Sierra Club wants to say, well, you know, the attorney general or the governor has been talking to, you know, Exxon or Chevron, and then they want to paint them as big. And then we spend ungodly amounts of tax dollars having to search through those particular records and emails and all the rest to determine whether or not it's privileged, whether it should go or not. Those are conversations that we have as we try to solve the problems of the state. And that's what we're trying.
But Jeff, what I'm getting mostly, I'm talking about contracts, money.
Money.
And that, none of that can be hidden from the public.
No.
Right. Follow the money. That's we can correct. Still follow the money.
I'm with you, Moon. I believe you, me. That's why, look, if I'm not mistaken, and we should, and I don't know how many departments on LA Wallet, but I can guarantee you the fourth floor and the DOA are now on LA Wallet. I fully support it. I have no problems with it. At the minute we spend money right now in state government, if you're on LA Wallet, the public has the ability to see it.
So, they're trying to make the argument. We'll see what comes of the legislation. I know when they had the hearing last week, and you had investigative reporters like Lee Zurich there speaking out against this bill. Cloud did say that she's willing to make adjustments to it if it can make it a better bill. So, we'll see.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah, we'll see how they amend it and try to reshape it.
All right. We're a little bit behind on our break. We'll come back with more.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. General Motors is stepping on the gas when it comes to this year's profit outlook. The carmaker is forecasting better profit after topping sales and earnings estimates in the first quarter. Truck sales are strong in the U.S., leading GM to raise guidance for the year by $500 million. Meanwhile, even as the shine wears off much of the electric vehicle market, Cadillac's Lyriq has emerged as a rising star. General Motors sold almost 6,000 of them in the first quarter. Its international business managed to make up for a decline in North America as inflation takes a toll, allowing PepsiCo to post stronger than expected sales growth in the latest quarter. The owner of Mountain Dew Sodas and Frito-Lay Chips says net revenue in the first quarter rose a better than estimated 2.7%. Ahead of the bell on Wall Street this morning, stock futures are pointing higher. Steve Potusk, Bloomberg Radio.
Hope can strengthen. Hope can encourage. Hope can empower. Together, we can educate, encourage, empower. Be the change.
Change a child's tomorrow and volunteer as a CASA today. Be the change for children in foster care and help change despair into hope. Volunteer trainings are going on now and will continue throughout the year. Find out more and apply today at childrensadvocacy.net or call 318-445-5678. Don't wait to choose to be the safe adult and constant support in a child's life. This project was supported by subgrant number 7137, awarded by the Louisiana Commission on Law Enforcement through the Office of Victims of Crime, Office of Justice Programs. Start making a difference today at childrensadvocacy.net or call 318-445-5678.
LA 22-13409. Offices in Alexandria and Marksville. Results may vary.
How much is your case worth? May take months or even years to determine. The attorney you hire can make a big difference too. I'm Brian Kubero, and one thing I do know is one little mistake can cost you, which is why nothing is more important than doing it right. Call me, Brian Kubero, at 253-0900 or visit doitright.com.
Entergy Louisiana is strengthening our power grid from Lake Charles to Baton Rouge, Metairie to Monroe. Our blueprint covers the state. Nearly 10,000 projects, over 11,000 miles of transmission line. We're reinforcing infrastructure to prepare for stronger storms, reduce outages, and respond quicker when you do need us. We're making stronger connections in every community because together, we power life.
Well, good morning, sunny skies on our Tuesday. Another incredible day with afternoon highs near 78 degrees. We'll have a southerly breeze at about 5 to 10. Tonight, clear skies overnight. 55 should do it for the early morning low. We'll see some fog on Wednesday morning. Otherwise, a nice day. Sunny skies with the highs near 82. This great weather stays with us now through the end of the week. And that's your forecast from the Senlaw Broadcasting Weather Center. I'm Dave Gratiot. Currently 52 degrees in Senlaw. Now, let's get back to Talk Back on KSYO, 970 AM, 104.9 FM, and 100.3 HD3.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We've been taking a lot of this hour to talk about Heather Cloud, Senator Heather Cloud's bill that would change some of the rules and procedures when it comes to open records in the state of Louisiana. She says to help the deliberative process and not have it get bogged down with lawsuits and things like that, FOIA requests, if you will, Freedom of Information Act. Now, she did note that the state of South Dakota, along with 30 other states, have similar rules like this, trying to add to the argument. And then at one point, Jeff Landry kind of gave what I would say was sort of the bottom line in terms of this debate. From their standpoint, we'll play this last soundbite for you here.
To be able to deliberate, to debate, to get information. And the problem is that they've weaponized it so that they tell half of the story. You understand? Even before you get to the solution.
You love this, my buddy writes. The problem is conservatives is not a problem to the left. When you solve the problem, the left never gets beat up. The left never gets challenges by the same people that challenge y'all. That's a fact. Yeah. But I'll say it again. If you guys are saying that people can get public records on the money, on the contracts, where the monies go, that's every email I've got someone out of trying to hide the money. No, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Tell me this again, Governor. No. You go look and see what was the first department to get on LA Wallet, which is probably the most transparent application for tracking taxpayer money, and see who led on that, and you'll see it was me. So why would I want to hide in that? I opened it up when I was Attorney General. We got to do it as a governor. I want the public to see how their money's spent.
I don't want people coming to me and say, what are they hiding? If you say, all the money's there, go see where the contracts go, we can find out everything. If you mean the conversations that they're having with somebody while they negotiate or work on something, that's a whole different ballgame. Heather, I've talked to you privately. Governor, I've talked to you privately. Walker, I've talked to you. Boy, they better never know our conversations. You know, is he laughing?
Well, I mean, think about the media. Let's just talk about the media and reporters. I mean, how many times do they go and they give you a big old, you give them a big old interview and they just take a section of it? Aggravates us. All the time. They did it the other day. I put it on Facebook when they do it. I mean, like, they don't go and publish the entire notes. The ways they got to the particular story. In fact, I remember having this discussion when we were in the transition. They wanted to know if we were going to open up the transitional committees to the press. I said, no, but we're going to issue a report when it's after, which we did. Why? Because they wanted to be in there where they discuss inflammatory, if there would be something that they viewed as inflammatory, and they go out there and write a story.
I got one for both of y'all that nobody ever ran on it, and they're wrong. The governor, the former governor, said we had a $2 billion budget. He just came out and said, him and Jay Dart. Never been proved. It can't be proved. Yet the media ran with that number because they put it out. And the point I'm making is the point you're making. They just took a number and beat us up to get taxes passed. There was never $2 billion. It was made up. You know what they took? They took the deficit we had, figured out what they wanted to spend, added that to the deficit, $2 billion. That's illegal. That's not even right to do. You see what I'm saying? So the media never, ever questioned them. But boy, you spilled the Diet Coke, system. Jeff. Yeah. They want to know why you spilled the Diet Coke.
Especially, they want to know who paid for it.
Yeah, who paid for the Diet Coke, Heather? How about that?
All right. So, wanted to kind of play a lot of those bites because I think it gives a little more context to what the argument is. Now, whether that'll change people's minds, I think in the case of Sandra, it clearly has not. So. And I appreciate that. I will say this, from having worked in the media, the thing that has distressed me the most has been on the part of some administrations, and Mayor Hall's administration was kind of hallmark for this, just completely ignoring FOIA requests or making it cumbersome in order to get them fulfilled. And the problem with that is when you're doing that, it really makes people feel like you have something to hide. It shouldn't be hard to comply with a FOIA request. It is actually the law. And they know that if they don't, your next recourse is going to be to hire a lawyer and make it a legal battle, which is expensive for a lot of local media outlets who may not have the budget to do that. So I'm all for government transparency. I think it's inherently important, especially here in America. But more and more we're seeing that a lot of government agencies just don't want to comply. So I don't know that this is a we don't want to comply issue. Cloud seems to make it, again, being that it's hurting us from doing our job issue. So eye of the beholder, we'll see where the debate goes within the Senate and then the process after that. to see where this bill actually goes.
Yeah, and I can't help but thinking if this had been an Edwards administration bill and Senator Luno was carrying it instead of Senator Cloud, that Moon Griffon wouldn't have a completely different take on this.
That is a possibility. He is right, though, about the $2 billion budget deficit, the fiscal cliff. There was never any proof of that. They just kind of came up with that number, and no one ever did challenge it, which I think is kind of hallmark, sadly, of, you know, the media tends to be selective in what it goes after, depending on who's in office.
But wasn't, even when the budget deficit was going on, didn't the Republicans have the majority? Both houses, maybe not a super majority,
right.
I mean, Mike Johnson, a lot of our current members were there.
They did. I don't think they did in the Senate. Yeah. So, all right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Yes, sir. I have a government transparency related article here. Some citizen group in South Africa, they went to court to get the government to release the agreement they had signed for the vaccines with Pfizer. Well, the Pfizer sell these vaccines to these foreign countries, but they would require that the purchase agreement be made private. What struck me was Section 5.5. Purchaser acknowledges vaccine and materials related to the vaccine, their components and constituent materials are being rapidly developed due to the emergency circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic, will continue to be studied after provision of the vaccine purchaser under this agreement. Purchaser further acknowledges the long-term effects, efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known, and there may be adverse effects of the vaccine that are not currently known. Hmm. Further, to the extent applicable, purchaser acknowledges the product should not be serialized. Yeah, see, they're saying that's exactly why I wouldn't take it. Dr. Robert Malone, who played a big part in the development of the mRNA technology, he didn't have anything to do with the vaccine, but he was a big player in the development of the technology in the first place. He came out against vaccine mandates. He recommended only that elderly people with comorbidities take the vaccine. He said, we do not know the long-term side effects. But yet the government was telling everybody, oh, it's safe. It's safe. And we know it's safe. We've tested it, blah, 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 when they were lying.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of secrecy in that whole process, and if I remember right, they didn't have to release a lot of details for like 50 years from now in terms of side effects and things like that in some of the original deal to get it pushed through.
75 years.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know if we'll ever have full transparency on what we definitely need to have side effects and deaths that have been allegedly caused by the vaccine. I don't know that we'll ever fully know. I hope to God one day that we will. But I feel like if they do, and some of the things that are happening subsequently could create a real panic among people.
Dr. Malone was he was an honest, ethical doctor.
Yeah.
If he would have come out for the vaccine mandates, he could have been a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But he was honest and ethical, and he said he wanted to put a hold off on all these mandates. We do not know the long-term side effects.
Right.
And that was a big reason why I didn't take it. I said, if this, and I got some broken relationships over this vaccine. I never asked anybody if they took it, but they would ask me, and I would tell them, no, I did not take it. And I would try to explain why, and they just believed. Oh, they believed everything the government told them. They believed. Yep. What's disheartening to me was how many doctors went all in on this vaccine.
Yep, no question about it. So, all right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We are a little behind. We need to take a break.
If you'd like to take part in our show today, call the BOM Bank studio line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK. BOM Bank, now with locations in Alexandria, Pineville, and Woodworth.
Pack your bags and prepare for takeoff, because your summer adventure starts now by booking a flight out of Alexandria International Airport.
Grab your flip-flops and discover sizzling summer destinations like South Beach in Miami, island hopping in Hawaii, or traveling the sunny coast of California.
With non-stop destinations and connections worldwide, traveling with AEX is faster, easier, and more convenient than ever. Visit flyaex.org and plan your summer vacation today.
Are you ready to experience automotive luxury? Look no further than Walker Mercedes-Benz and BMW. From the Mercedes-Benz C-Class to the luxurious GLS SUV, indulge in comfort and sophistication. Or unleash the thrill of the road with BMW, renowned for its beauty and performance. Whether it's the 3 Series or the X5, every BMW embodies the ultimate driving experience. Visit Walker on Coliseum Boulevard or browse online at walkerautomotive.com for your dream car experience.
Having health insurance is important. So, if you or anyone in your family has Medicaid or CHIP, listen up. Check your mail for a renewal form from your state. Complete the form and mail it back right away so you don't lose your coverage. If you do lose Medicaid or CHIP, visit healthcare.gov to see if you're eligible to enroll in a low-cost, quality health plan. Keep your family covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for a golden opportunity? Find your gold with Golden Nugget Scratch-Offs from the Louisiana Lottery. Golden Nugget $14,000, Golden Nugget $100,000, and Golden Nugget $200,000. Enter our second chance promotion for one of 10 VIP prize packages to the Golden Nugget Casino in Lake Charles, including cash prizes and a chance to win up to $1 million. This is your chance to win big. Play all three Golden Nugget scratch-offs today and remember to enter the second chance drawings for your shot at winning up to $1 million. Join the fun with Louisiana Lottery and the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, giving you a reason to smile.
Must be 21 to enter promotion. Prohibited self-excluded persons are not eligible to enter second chance promotion. Golden Nugget and related marks and logos are registered trademarks of GNLB LLC and its affiliates. All rights reserved. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
Car crashes don't happen in slow motion. They happen fast. In a crash, there's no time to check if your child's in the right car seat. Don't think you know. Know you know. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the show. It's Talk Back on KSYL.
So we didn't really have a time to address that last caller, but he makes such a great point because the entire thing with the vaccine was shrouded in so much secrecy and still is. We still, I think most people don't feel like they've ever been told the truth about the source of the pandemic, the process to get the vaccines pushed through, the side effects that occurred from the vaccine. I mean, you do see information, but it's like the national media has largely ignored this as a serious health issue or health crisis. But when you look at watch network television, every other ad is a Pfizer ad or a major pharmaceutical company ad. When you talk about doctors, where's a lot of their money come from? So you want to see honest players, honest brokers, to come out and say, you know, I have a friend that ended up getting cancer like a year or so ago. His ENT doctor told him in the last year, and this was like a year ago, he was seeing things in people he's never seen in his life. So where's that coming from? That's the problem. We're not getting honest information. And here's the tragedy of it. Now, people are way more mistrustful of government, of the healthcare industry. There is a trust issue in our country with everything because there has not been transparency. I'd love to have full records of what happened on January 6th. I know somebody reported a few weeks ago that Trump had made a request for National Guard troops. What was the process in the denial of that? There are so many questions, and it's not even about being a conspiracy theorist. It's about having common sense and seeing things with your eyes open that make you question everything right now, as we legitimately should be questioning, because we're being gaslighted on so many issues. You know, we're being told the economy's strong. Really? Well, what about people who go to the grocery store?
Buy gas.
Can't afford to purchase a new home. Can't afford the insurance on their home. Can't afford the insurance on their car. There are things that are happening rapidly that are pushing the middle class into a lower class, while the upper echelons of the upper class continue to make bank. And it's just all rooted in corruption and deceit and gaslighting. So, you know, Heather's trying to push this bill in a time where people don't trust anything that the government does. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of skepticism about this. It's not personal against her. And I understand the point that she's making. She feels like this is specifically seems to be applying to the agencies of the state government. And I know in one of her Facebook posts, she talks about how they're using AI to generate a lot of these frivolous requests that tie them up and help them from providing the good government that they want to. But I also understand your point that there's something larger at stake. So,
agreed. I just think more transparency is better.
Yep.
Even if it is, there's an expense and there's a hassle, I'd rather err on the side of total transparency.
Yeah.
Because there is an element, too, of knowing that everything you touch and do throughout a day, I mean, your schedule, everything, it kind of helps you keep it between the lines, too. I mean, they train us on how to manage the public records, what our obligations are when you step into, you have an ethics training you have to go through in these positions. And it helps. It's another way that, not that, I think people are being dishonest, but it certainly makes that at least something you would pause and think about if you were dishonest.
For sure. Let's take another call before our last break. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You know, we need accountability on a local level. You know, we got our local people, our local elected officials, the coroner, who was on the radio saying how the only way we can get through this COVID stuff is to take the vaccines. Take the vaccines. That's the only way to save and to cure this thing. Y'all can go back and pull the records on that. I mean, he was, you know, I sat there and argued with him for 15 minutes on that, telling him it was all a lie. He knew it was a lie, but he was getting money for it. So, until our elected locals can tell us the truth and quit gaslighting us locally because of the almighty dollar, I mean, we're just in a downward spiral, you know?
Yes, sir.
It's terrible.
Right.
It's terrible the way our local people are doing us. You know it?
That's what I'm saying. I think there is mistrust everywhere now.
Everywhere. Yep. You're exactly right.
So
yeah,
I don't.
But that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, it says biblically, you know, you'll be father against son and mother against daughter and brother against brother. You know, So that's about where we're at again.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. So all right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We got to take this break.
If you'd like to take part in our show today, call the BOM Bank studio line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK. BOM Bank, now with locations in Alexandria, Pineville, and Woodworth.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then, a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. Navage.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
Hi, this is Pete with Pro Carpet and Duct Cleaning. We've successfully cleaned air ducts for over 30 years, and we've proven to our customers that we can reduce the dust in your home up to 75% and make 35% more air come out of your vents, which lowers your utility bill and makes your central air unit 90% less likely to fail. Doesn't your family deserve clean air?
For a cleaner, healthier home, call 445-4818.
Got a big day ahead of you? Then it's best to fuel up with some of Sinlaw's best at Bricado's Restaurant. Walk right in and just smell that home-style cooking. Place your order, take a seat, and do breakfast right. Till 9:30 this morning, get fresh biscuits, eggs any way you like them, melt-in-your-mouth pancakes, grits, hash browns, sausage, bacon, even wraps and sandwiches. And don't forget their fresh brewed coffee. Bricado's Restaurant, 28 West, right across from the Coliseum. Your breakfast is waiting on you.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Nothing says summer in Louisiana more than shelling, swimming, or surf fishing. But don't get caught off guard when it comes to rip currents. It's no laughing matter. That's why I'm asking you personally to use your noodle. That's right, bring a flotation device with you. Rip currents are easy to manage with the right education and equipment. Visit bringanoodle.org to learn more about how you can be prepared and stay safe this summer. I'll see you at the beach.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to KSYL's Talkback after the show. It's audio on demand at KSYL.com.
All right, we're back. A little over a minute left in the show. Let's talk about what's coming up tomorrow. We'll have Superintendent Jeff Powell here. Had to push his scheduled time from last week to this week, so we'll look forward to talking with him. Also, we will have our Louisiana Central segment and then our Workforce Wednesday. So that's coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow also will be the investiture of Lauren Lampert to the 9th Judicial District Judge Division D seat. That's happening at 8:30 in the Rapides Parish Courtroom, Courthouse, Courtroom Number 6. So that is happening.
What a great day for he and his family. Yeah. Quite a memory to be made.
For sure. So, and then as we mentioned, Matt Ritchie normally would be on today. We'll be having him on Thursday. So a lot coming up this week still here on Talk Back. Story I didn't get to today and wanted to has to do with our state superintendent, Cade Brumley, who made a post today on Facebook in regard to some of the changes that will come from Title IX through President Biden's administration. He's recommending the school systems not comply until the state of Louisiana offers up guidance, and he's coordinating with the governor and attorney general on that. I have a feeling that's going to go to court as well.
I have a feeling, and we can, and I know that memo was sent to the school board leader, so maybe the superintendent can give us some thoughts on that tomorrow.
Absolutely. So we'll look forward to that conversation and much, much more coming up on tomorrow's Talk Back. Good show today, everyone.
Thanks. Good show.
Yeah. Intern Kai, good to see you.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
We'll talk with y'all tomorrow.
You've been listening to Talk Back. The opinions expressed were those of the hosts and callers, and not necessarily those of Senlaw Broadcasting.
FM 104.9, AM 970, KSYL, and KRRV 100.3 HD3, Alexandria.
It's 9 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored